We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we're studying one of the great texts of the New Testament in Matthew chapter 16. You may want to turn with me in Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to begin talking about this and reading Elam's notes on this. It's about Peter's great confession. I'll be reading in just a moment. Matthew chapter 16, 13 and 14. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at our lesson text. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Now when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Mark 8 and verse 27 says, "Jesus went forth and his disciples into the village of Caesarea Philippi." Parts, as Matthew puts it, means the country surrounding the city. And Jesus went through the towns of that country, no doubt teaching the Jews. Again, Mark in the same verse says, "And along the way," and Luke 9:18 says, that Jesus was alone praying with his disciples when he asked the question, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" In his humility, and because he was in the flesh, he calls himself the Son of Man. He frequently thus spoke of himself. All the miraculous, benevolent works of Jesus were to convince the world that he is the promised seed of Abraham, the longed-looked-for Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. If he is not this, he is false, a blasphemer, and an impostor. The multitudes had flocked to him by the thousands, and had seen and enjoyed his various and numerous miracles. Now what do they say of him? He knew, of course, but he desired an expression from the apostles, and to bring out and to strengthen their faith. And so they answered, "Some say John the Baptist." You know, this was the opinion of Herod Antipas and some of the others. Herod thought John had risen from the dead. Elijah of old had restored the true worship of God. And on his return to the earth, was expected. Others say he was Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They thought he was one of the old prophets risen from the dead. They all classed him with the prophets, which was a high honor, but not yet sufficient honor for Jesus. He was much more than this. But for their misconceptions and previous erroneous opinions as to what the Messiah was to do and to be, they doubtless would have accepted him as the Son of God and of the Christ. All his disciples with the apostles had these erroneous conceptions, but they were willing to learn and did learn of him until they were led into the clear sunlight of the true nature of his spiritual kingdom. If one will only study and learn, one can come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, then we come to the great confession. And I want to read verses 15 through 17 of Matthew chapter 16. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Back to verse 15. He asked an expression from the apostles themselves. He asked them all, "Whom say ye that I am?" Peter, not pert, but impulsive, decisive, bold, and courageous, answered at once. There was no hesitancy or delay. He spoke his sincere and deep conviction, but he answered for all the rest. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He is not only Jesus of Nazareth, a carpenter, and the son of Mary, but the Son of God and the Christ. There are other men in those days named Jesus, but there is only one Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, Acts 2 and verse 36. Paul says that this Jesus, who was crucified and raised from the dead, whom I proclaim unto you, is Christ. Acts 17 and verse 3. Two propositions concerning Jesus of Nazareth are true and must be believed. One, that he is the Christ. And two, that he is the Son of the living God. The living God is no false and lifeless God, but I am that I am, Exodus 3 and verse 14. From everlasting to everlasting thou art God, Psalm 90 and verse 2. The Word which was with God in the beginning and which was God became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1 through 14. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2 and verse 9. This proposition shows the relationship of Jesus to God, and therefore his divinity. Messiah is the Hebrew word, and Christ is the Greek word for anointed. It shows the work or office of Jesus Christ. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. He is prophet, priest, and king. He was made both Lord and Christ, and made to be high priest. David was anointed king before he was crowned and began to serve. And so was Jesus. What else people believed about Jesus? They must believe in him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, in order to be saved by him. It says here to be sure to read Romans 3, 26, and Romans 10, verses 6 through 10. I'm turning there in my Bible at this time. Romans chapter 3 and verse 26 says, I turned over to 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 6 and verse, you'll bear with me. Romans 3. Romans 3 and verse 26. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he himself might be just, and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. Now, Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. But the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, Say not in thy heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down? Or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, and in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. They must receive Jesus' teaching as a prophet, accept him as a sacrifice on the cross for their sin, whose blood cleanses from all sin, and without which there's no remission of sins. Trust him as advocate, mediator, and priest, and place themselves under him as king to be governed entirely by his laws. The apostles and disciples grew into the firm conviction of the confession that was made here. Those in the boat with him the night he walked on the water said, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And after the discourse of the bread of life, Peter said, "And we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God." Jesus called Peter Simon Bar-Jonah, which means the son of Jonah or the son of John. Appreciating and confessing this great truth brought Peter, and with him all who believe it, into the rich blessings of God. For Jesus owns and confesses such persons before God and the angels. He said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee," because flesh and blood could not make such a revelation. People knew by flesh and blood that Jesus was the son of Mary and a descendant of Abraham, as Matthew and Luke show, but they could not know by flesh and blood that he was the Son of God. God must make this revelation. So he revealed it to Mary, to Joseph, to John the Baptist, to Peter, and to others, when he sent down the Spirit upon Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Besides all the miracles of Jesus done in the presence of his disciples as the testimony of God to this fact, revealed to them and also to the world that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The apostles were Christ's witnesses to the world. Guided by the Spirit of God, they made this revelation to the world. Hence, no man speaking in the Spirit of God saith Jesus is anathema, and no man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3. Human wisdom and science could not invent or discover the remedy for sin. The world, through its wisdom, knew not God, 1 Corinthians 1:21. Man, by searching, cannot find out God, Romans 11:33. God must reveal his will and the remedy for sin or the way of salvation to men. Hence, it is absolute folly to trust in the wisdom of the world or the philosophies and science of men for the way of salvation. The wisdom of men is foolishness with God. And now we're going to read about the foundation of the church. We read in Matthew 16 and verse 18, where Jesus says, "I also say unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I shall build on, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Jesus continued his address to Peter and said, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." This declaration has been called forth a great deal of controversy. Jesus does not say he would build his church on Peter, but he says, "Thou art Petros, a small stone, and upon this Petra, bedrock, I will build my church." We build houses of stone, but we lay the foundation upon a rock. All Christians are living stones, building stones in the spiritual house, while Jesus under this figure is the chief cornerstone, and under other figures he is the Petra, he is the rock upon which the church is built. In the figure under consideration, Peter is not the foundation. He's the doorkeeper. There is one, a builder, Jesus. Two, a foundation, a solid rock. And three, a spiritual house, the church. And four, a doorkeeper. That's Peter. The gates of the unseen world is mighty power opposing this work. Now, what is the foundation on the solid rock? It is the central truth of the whole Bible, and the glorious fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Destroy this truth, and all the prophecies and purposes of God fail.